If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome to the Strike Zone, presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM KMOX.
Back at it as the 7 o'clock hour of a Graybar Sports Open Line begins. It is a Strike Zone hour. We'll be talking a lot of baseball, but we got a few other things to get into as well, including the Battle Hawks as they are going to be back at. What a crazy night it is going to be in St. Louis coming up tomorrow night as the Battlehawks, along with the Blues and the Cardinals, are all going to be playing at about the same time. 7 o'clock kickoff tomorrow night over at the Dome. Battlehawks match up against the Arlington Renegades. And I'll tell you what, we're fired up to talk to this guy. He is a former St. Louis Ram, but now he works as the defensive line coach for the Battlehawks. He is the great Leroy Glover. He joins us on the program. Leroy, great to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How about yourself?
Doing all right. What did you think from a defensive standpoint? The team got a win this past weekend against Michigan. Were you happy with the way things went from your defensive guys?
Yeah, I think you're always happy with the win. And I think as a coach, you're always trying to nitpick things and try to make games perfect. But at the end of the day, as long as you can win in this league or any league, you'll take the win.
Yeah, when you look at where this team is at right now, because I think Battlehawks fans are not used to, they're a little spoiled here early on. They're not used to the team losing a couple games in a row, and that's what happened against DC and Arlington. What got picked up? What got shored up going into what happened this past weekend against Michigan?
Yeah, I think now is not the time to really start making up excuses on why you did or didn't perform the way you thought that you should. Obviously, you got to go back, you got to look at the tape, and you got to make corrections. You got to do that each and every game after wins and or losses. I think defensively, the biggest thing that we have to do is stop beating ourselves. If we could just eliminate that right there to where you allow your opponent to make all the mistakes and you don't make them yourself, you put yourself in better positions.
How much of a challenge is it matching up against Arlington, a team that you saw 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I think the challenge isn't going to be with familiarity because you're obviously going to be very familiar with them. The challenge is going to be what if they come out and do something new that they haven't seen on tape? That's going to be what we're going to have to be able as coaches come to the sideline and communicate it and get that message to the players on what we're seeing and how we're going to change it. The second thing is obviously you got to now maybe we come up with something new as well that we haven't shown. You know, that's kind of the chess match between offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator when you have two teams that are very, very familiar with each other.
Do you enjoy that part of it, you know, specifically watching how a game is going? I know you love coaching these guys during the week, but you see something in the game where you try to address it and respond to it in game and just the strategy that goes along with that. How much do you enjoy that as a coach?
I think not only do you enjoy it, but you have to do it because coordinators, offenses are pretty darn good, not only in this league, but in other leagues as well, and they're going to change. They're not going to do the same thing they did in the first quarter as they did in the fourth quarter. They're not going to do the exact same thing the first time you played them as they're going to do the second time you play them. So you got to identify those changes and then be ready to make those adjustments very quickly.
Have some of these coaches been around long enough in this league where there are some tendencies, even the tendencies on what they're going to tweak from one quarter to the next or one game to the next, where you can start expecting some things where maybe it applies to Arlington because that's who you're playing this weekend, but it could be anybody where you're playing a team for a second time and you can sit there and say, okay, I know that this group is going to try to do something a little bit different here this time around.
Yeah, I think the real picture for that is more situationally. For instance, on the goal line or in short yardage situations, we think this team is going to try to do an uptick in runs at about 70 to 75%, right? Well, what if they come out and throw the ball in those situations? How are we going to adjust to it? How are we going to handle that? Are we going to be shaken up by it? Or can we just play ball and survive the down? It's just little times where, and the other kicker here is, which play is going to be the one to change the game? That's important because you never know of the 60 to 70 plays of a game, you never know which one is going to be the critical one. So you now have to make sure that they're all critical plays.
I know it's been a minute since you were a player, but man, it really does not feel like it was that long ago that you were lining up for the Rams, and you've been coaching now for a while. How have you enjoyed going to this stage of your career, moving on from being a player to being somebody who tries to help other players become the best version of themselves?
I've enjoyed it immensely. I mean, it's just about the relationships with the other coaches and with the other players. It's about being in a position of serving somebody other than yourself. And then it's about being a mentor, trying to teach young players different nuances of the game that maybe at their stage of my development, if I would have known it then, it could have helped me become an even better player. So it's just kind of a full circle moment and an opportunity to get back to the game.
It's different for you because you were coaching in the NFL and now you're coaching in this league. And in the NFL, man, it is all about trying to win games every single week. And I'm not saying that's not what it's about with the Battle Hawks. It is, but just as important for some of these guys, it is the player development. It is putting them in position where they're going to get another look from the NFL. So you as a coach, that player development, and I would think, you can tell me if I'm wrong, it feels like player development is that much more important here. Do you enjoy that part of it, and can you speak to the importance and how proud you are when some of your guys do get an opportunity at the next level?
Yeah, the example there would be, obviously, we have a 10-week season, okay? And so we'll start day one, and we'll start with an individual period, or we'll start with specific techniques that we're teaching guys. And maybe early in the process, maybe the first couple of days, they may struggle with some of the techniques. But then as time goes on, you know, week two, week three, maybe game four, they start to get it, they start to pick it up, and then they start to excel. And that's kind of what we're looking for in that process. It's not going to be easy early, but just stick with it, and then some good things are going to happen for you later in the season.
What, you guys are all kind of training in the same area, and then you fly into St. Louis, but all the operations are based in Texas. So I'm sure you're talking with people all the time who are connected to other teams. What's been the response and the reaction from the rest of the league to the kind of support that's being given here in St. Louis?
Well, from our standpoint, we're going to enjoy it. We're going to hope it continues. You know, we're going to praise our fans. We're going to praise our local community. I think we're in a situation now where now not only do we enjoy coming and playing in St. Louis, but I think our opponent does too, because they obviously get an opportunity to play in front of a lot of fans. You know, 20 to 30, 40,000 fans in one place for a UFL game is awesome. We're kind of setting the trend for that as well.
Do you see the league growing in other markets? Like, the other markets may never get to St. Louis, but do you feel like this league is continuing to be on the rise?
I think we're doing some very positive things. I think from the standpoint of, you know, getting eyeballs on guys, the viewership is up, so that's positive. You know, the opportunity to build this thing, I hope it does happen because I think it's something that people need.
Yeah.
You know, this hopefully will be a pipeline for guys who have an opportunity to go to the NFL as well. And so the more we grow it, the more attention it gets, the more serious it'll be.
Leroy Glover, he is the defensive line coach for the Battle Hawks. They are in action at the Dome tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. It's going to be a crazy night, all within 10 or 15 minutes of each other. The Battle Hawks, the Blues, and the Cardinals are all going to be getting their games going. A great night in downtown St. Louis. Leroy, thanks for finding some time for us. Hopefully we can talk again down the line.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. That's Leroy Glover joining us here on the program. Man, he was fun to watch as a St. Louis Ram for sure. And yeah, I know this is all about the Battle Hawks, and I love the fact that we have the Battle Hawks. I love the fact that so many fans are supporting that team, and a lot of that support, the start of that support was in many ways created by the fact that St. Louis sports fans wanted to show that what Stan Kroenke said about our city is incorrect, and that's been proven I've said it and I believe it that as long as Roger Goodell is the commissioner of the National Football League, I don't think St. Louis gets another opportunity. And I'm not even convinced that St. Louis does ever get another NFL opportunity again. But I think the city's missing it. I do. I know there's people who are listening right now who are very anti-NFL, and I understand that. Look, when we talk about the Chiefs on this show, there is a contingent of people who you would think that I was setting the city of St. Louis on fire if I talk about the Chiefs, because they are not a St. Louis team, even though there are so many sports fans in the St. Louis market that love the Chiefs. So I love the Battle Hawks. I love the support that the team gets. But for whatever, I know why. I keep seeing stuff on social media. You know, there's the things going on with Cincinnati and their stadium issue. There's always Jacksonville and their owner and Shad Khan having connections to the region. There's always people who throw stuff out on social media about would there be an opportunity for one of those teams to leave their current market. I would never want to see a community lose their team, because I know what it was like for St. Louis to lose their team. But I think most of us can agree it would feel really good for St. Louis to be an NFL market once again. Probably not going to happen for a long time unless something crazy ends up happening. But you know, just talking to Leroy Glover, man, it just takes me back. It takes me back to the St. Louis Rams and how, as much as I like, you listen to me, you know that I'm a baseball guy. I've always been a baseball first guy. I'm always going to be a baseball first guy. But there's just something about a team in your market playing on the weekends and how much that, you know, impacts your life and the way you do things, and you schedule your weekends around the games. Like, I can't tell you, my dad and I would watch every single Rams game. And if they're playing at 12 noon, well, you know what? That means we got to go to early church, because we got to be home in time for the 12 o'clock kickoff. And there's just something, and I've lived in other places. Like, I lived in Wisconsin before I was here, and obviously that's a thing with the Packers. I spent years living in Colorado, where the Broncos, I spent time when I was in college. I was in college in the state of Kansas, and everybody's paying attention to the Chiefs on those days. There's just something about the weekly appointment that goes along with a single game and it being such a big deal, and I do miss that. But I'm glad we have a version of it with the Battlehawks, and I'll be curious to see the attendance tomorrow. The attendance could take a hit. Like, I'm not trying to. If you want to go check out the Battle Hawks, if that's the team that you want to go see tomorrow night of the three, you can do so, and you can find tickets at theufl.com. But that's a challenge tomorrow night for the Battle Hawks to draw fans when the Blues are playing a playoff game, and you know every single seat in that building is going to be filled. Cardinals are in action. They've got a somewhat marquee team coming in the New York Mets, and then it's the Battlehawks. And it's just going to be, I'll be curious to see what the attendance looks like for the Battlehawks tomorrow night compared to what they've done. It's still going to be good. There is a legitimate chance that the Battlehawks attendance tomorrow is going to be their worst home attendance of the year. And at the same time, it's still going to be better than any other team's home game this year. That's where it's at right now, that they get so many more fans than any other team in the league. All right, thanks to Leroy Glover for joining us. That was a fun conversation for sure. Always enjoyable to hear those guys who go from being players and trying to make themselves better to being coaches and really trying to make other people better and having that that spirit to be able to do so. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll jump back into the Cardinals. It is a strike zone hour. We'll give you an opportunity to chime in. If you want to talk through what's going on with this team, feel free to call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me at Matt Pauly on air, or for those of you who are watching the video stream, just leave a comment and we will see that. We've got more coming up here on a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's a strike zone hour of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, brought to you by Graybar. Graybar is headquartered in St. Louis, a great place to work. If you want to join us, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Or if you are listening or watching, I should say, on the video stream, you can just leave a comment and we will respond to that as we go along. But we've got some time here for your thoughts on the Cardinals and everything that is going on with this team. You know, I got back-to-back text messages, which I think are actually related to each other. So one of the text messages from the 314 reads, "You are delusional." Thank you. "You are delusional. You've been saying the Cardinals are better than they have been for the last 2 years." Okay. And then another one says, "Matt, you stated last week that you believe the Cardinals can win in the high 80s. Do you still feel that way?" So I actually think those two things are kind of connected to each other. Let me start by saying this. 2 years ago, the 72 win team, was it 72? I think it was 72. Yeah, I was wrong. I was way off on that team. Like, I did not see that coming. And it took me a while to accept that that's who they were going to be. So yeah, that one I got wrong. And I'm not afraid to, like, I say this all the time because it's kind of a badge of honor for me. I'm not afraid to tell you when I get stuff wrong. And I got that one wrong. I thought the team was going to be better last year, and I thought the team was going to have a chance to be in the playoffs, and I think I got that one right. They were an above 500 team, and they were in playoff contention for much of the year. They did not get to the playoffs. We'd have to go back to the audio tape. Maybe you can find where I said it. But I never was like, so sure that they were going to be a playoff team last year. It was a disappointing year, even though they were a winning team. It was a disappointing year because they had set the standard as them being a playoff team. So now that brings us to this year and my quote-unquote delusion and whether or not the Cardinals, if I'm saying the Cardinals are better than they actually are, and whether or not they can be a team in the high 80s. I think the ceiling for this team is like 86, 87, 88 wins. I have a really hard time believing that they can get to 90. So that, I think the absolute everything is going right and they go on some legit runs during the season. That's where it is. And maybe I'd come back off that a little bit because we're a month into the season and everything hasn't gone right. Right? Like, the bullpen in its current form and at its current production level does not lend itself to being a team that's going to go win that number of games. I also, and this is where I think sometimes people hear what I say and they selectively hear what I say. And it's not that I'm trying to talk out of both sides of my mouth. It's that I'm trying to assess the situation in a fair and somewhat borderline educated way. And I still think the floor for this team is it's a pretty low floor, right? Like, if the ceiling is 87, 88 wins, what's the floor? And the floor is clearly this team being below 500. I don't think they're going to be as bad as they were a couple years ago. I don't think it's a 72-win team, but is there a possibility for 75, 76, 77 wins? Yeah, I think that's possible, and that's probably... That might be a fourth place finish. I don't think they're going to finish last in the division this year. But they could be anywhere from, you know, I think second to fourth, outside shot of them winning the division. But legitimately, you look at them and see where they're going to be. And so, no, I don't think I'm delusional. I think I'm fair. I think I can sit here. This is a team, if I want to argue from a positive standpoint, right? So let's go to the positive side of things. This is a team that's got a team batting average right now, and I know I hate using batting average. That's not a number I use very often, but it's a good example right now. This is a team that's got the fifth best team batting average in Major League Baseball at 256. They've got their OPS is in the top 10. There's a lot of offensive numbers that put them in the top 10 of offense. And what was the problem with this team last year? They couldn't score runs. They just could not score runs. So when I see what they are doing from an offensive standpoint, it actually makes me feel pretty good and pretty excited about what this team could do if they bring some other things together. I've enjoyed watching the starting pitching. Call me cynical. I'd love to be wrong on this one. I do think at some point the starting pitching starts to fall off a little bit because you look at who's doing it. But at the same time, you leave open the possibility that it could continue. Right now, where this team is at, I don't think they're at a crossroads quite yet. But right now, for this team, the area that has to be better for them to find the upper end of whatever they're, you know, be towards their ceiling, it continues to be connected to relief pitching. And look, every year... Like, let's take today's game, for example. You go out and it's kind of tight for a little bit, and then Cincinnati starts to score some add-on runs, and you end up losing by a 9-1 score. Okay. That game was probably going to be a loss almost no matter what. Would have it looked a little bit different had it not rained? Yeah, obviously, Matthew Liberatore is giving you at least two more innings, maybe three more innings. Who knows? Maybe four more. Probably two to three more innings that you're going to get from Liberatore. So the game looks different. Matt Swanson is not coming into the game when it's still a really tight game. It looks different. The rain today, I don't always say this about rain delays. The rain delay today impacted the game. I'm not willing to say the rain delay switched it from being a Cardinals win to a Cardinals loss, but the rain absolutely did change the way today's game played out. If you've got a bullpen group that you can more rely on, this game might look different, where you're stuck without Matthew Liberatore, and yeah, you're not going to go to your A guys, you're not going to Leahy, you're not going to Maton, obviously you're not going to Helsley, but that that next group of guys that they're individuals that you can really rely on. And there are teams out there, you know, bullpens can be really volatile in most teams. The final guy in the bullpen, the guy who's taken the final roster spot, or the guy that's taken the final couple roster spots. There are a lot of teams in baseball that are just churning those guys through. But if you've got a group where you're really able to trust those guys, those end of the roster kind of guys, well, then stuff starts to look different. And I'm not trying to blame Matt Swanson on this at all. I'm glad they're pitching him finally. But Swanson comes in and he promptly gives up a couple runs, and all of a sudden this goes from a one-run game to a three-run game, and then things just kind of go down from there. Now, the bottom line is the Cardinals didn't hit enough today. I think that's the other side of this, is if you face off against their starter Abbott for a little bit longer, you might have had another opportunity. You had forced him to throw a good number of pitches. He had thrown 74 pitches through four innings. So his day was probably starting to come to an end. If you catch him at the end of the day and score a run or two, then the entire feeling of this game starts to look a little bit different. So I'm just kind of spewing on right now about this team. The bottom line is the bullpen's got to be better, and it has to be deeper. I think that's the more important thing right now. I feel very good about this team when Kyle Leahy comes on to pitch. I feel really good when Phil Maton comes on to pitch. I feel really good when Ryan Helsley comes on to pitch. I feel really good when Steven Matz is not in the rotation and when he comes on to pitch. But whoever that next guy, who is it? I don't know if it's JoJo Romero. I don't know if it's John King. I don't know who that next guy is, but there's the line right there. And that's where things have to get better. It can't just be four guys that you rely on. You think about last year's team and who you could rely on. Obviously, those final three innings last year being covered by Helsley and Romero and Kittredge, but Ryan Fernandez last year gave you great innings. King was pretty darn good last year, especially as the season went along. Kyle Leahy, he wasn't asked all the time to pitch in high leverage spots last year, but when they were in a spot where they needed him to, he was able to come in and he was able to produce. And there's a bunch of, I'm not even naming every single guy who was given that opportunity last year and who was able to pitch. And that's what they have to start getting. You know, probably the most important thing right now for this team from a relief standpoint is get Ryan Fernandez right. If he can get down to Memphis and if he can work on some things and he can fix things, and if he can get some pitch shapes back where they're supposed to be and have his arm doing what it was doing for most of last season, and then you add, that's your first piece that you kind of add back in to your leverage group, and then you work, hopefully you get another guy and another guy and another guy. That's going to be the thing. So I didn't mean to turn this, this question about whether or not I think they can win in the high 80s, which I don't think is off the table quite yet, even if that's not the number that I would go with. I didn't mean to turn that into a conversation about the bullpen, but where I'm at with this team right now, I'm so content with who they are offensively from a big picture standpoint, not content with the variable nature of what they're doing offensively, ups, downs, roller coasters, sometimes scoring a lot, sometimes scoring not many. But taking a step back and looking at the numbers in the aggregate, very comfortable with that, very comfortable with starting pitching. This team is a really good bullpen away from being a pretty legitimate team, and a team I think that most of us would feel like can be, at the very least, a playoff contender. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call, that's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. Would love for you to leave a message if you are watching on the video stream as well. We've got more in a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Back out on KMOX, it is a Graybar Sports Open Line, a strike zone hour of a Graybar Sports Open Line. What's on deck is sponsored by Chesterfield Fence Deck, the sign you have the very best. ChesterfieldFence.com. Cardinals and Mets opening up a three-game series tomorrow night at Busch Stadium. Sonny Gray is going to pitch the opener against Clay Holmes, a 7:15 first pitch tomorrow. That means coverage begins at 6:20. Cardinals will also send Eric Fetty and Andre Pallante to the mound before all is said and done over the course of the three games. Would be great. Would be great if they could find a way to win two of three from a really, really good Mets team. Obviously, they have played well at home this season. So we'll see what they're able to do over the course of the weekend. 7:15 tomorrow night, 1:15 coming up on Saturday, 1:15 on Sunday as well. Lots of great promotions this weekend. They've got the Brendan Donovan bobblehead, the Brendan Donovan headband for kids. They've got the bucket hat, which is reversible. They're doing that tomorrow to go along with the great. So if you get like the theme ticket, it's a Grateful Dead theme ticket. You can get like a warm-up jacket that's got a Grateful Dead theme. And then one of the two designs of the bucket hat goes quite well with the jacket. So they're trying to help you with your stylistic choices there with the giveaways and the different theme nights that are going on. All right, credit, by the way, because I just saw this on Twitter a little while ago, at Redbird Farmhand tweeted this out. So not an original thought by me, but something that's worth talking about. It's also, I'm going to talk, sometimes, and I myself included, sometimes we get a little bit too excited about the prospects, about the guys coming up, about the rankings and the things like that. But Kyle Sixt is here. Kyle, this Twitter account, at Redbird Farmhand, makes a very good point. ESPN just redid their rankings of players in the Cardinal system. And I'm not so worried about where guys are ranked. I'm worried about the movement. So I need some explanation on a few things. Okay, so J.J. Weatherholt was number one. He stays number one. We can be good with that?
Yeah, I would assume so.
Okay. Number two, Tink Hintz. And he moved up a spot. What has Tink Hintz done to move up a spot in the Cardinals prospect rankings here recently?
Well, considering he hasn't been pitching, that's pretty interesting. Who moved below him?
We'll get to that. Don't worry.
See who's next.
Don't worry. We will get to that because the person that moved down,
I assume, it'd be Quinn Matthews.
Yes, it was Quinn Matthews who moves down from number two to number three. So you can say, well, he's been injured. But if you're going to say that about Quinn Matthews, then it goes back to the guy who's at number two in Tink Hintz, who has also been injured. And I'm not trying to dismiss Tink Hintz. I like Tink Hintz potentially as a reliever more so than a starter. His path to becoming a starting pitcher in the big leagues, I think, is getting more and more daunting by the days that he spends on the injury list, because he's not getting the innings that he needs to get his arm to a point where he can be a starter in the big league. So if I'm making that decision, I'm trying to get him to the big league sooner than later as a relief pitcher. But they're redoing it. He was not effective even before he got injured because they're redoing a bunch of things. But yeah, Hintz moves up a spot. Matthews moves down a spot. They're both injured. I think Matthews is probably going to be back sooner than Hintz if I have that one right. And Matthews was being very effective before the injury. So I don't understand any of this.
Yeah, and we saw Quinn Matthews in spring training. If there was anything that we could take from 2025, it's the fact that Quinn Matthews can compete with major leaguers.
Yeah, yeah. So those are the ones I don't really understand. Jimmy Crooks moves up a few spots. He goes to number four. That one makes sense. Renel Rodriguez, another catcher. He was not ranked. He goes to the number five spot.
Wow.
So that's a big, big jump for him. Yairo Patillo stays at number six. Leonardo Bernal, he falls. He goes from four to seven. Cooper Jerpy falls. He goes from five to eight. You would think that has to do with injury, but makes you wonder why Tink Hintz moves up. So JC goes eight to nine. Chase Davis goes from being not ranked to number 10.
I was going to ask about Chase Davis. Yeah. Where do we have TK Roby?
This is only a top 10 that I see here.
See. Okay.
So I don't know. I'm just taking the screenshot off of this Redbird Farmhands Twitter. I just saw this and I thought it was interesting. Mm-hmm. But again, look, am I really going to be upset that Tink Hintz moved up a spot and Quinn Matthews moved down a spot? No, that's not something to be worried about. But what it does tell you is some of these people who do the minor league prospecting are really good. Really good, and they get things right more often than not. And then some of the things out there are not really good. And as much as we want to always be excited about what's coming up, sometimes you take with a grain of salt some of the things that you see.
You got to. I mean, you look back on former or years past top prospects list, and it's some of these hit and some of these we couldn't have been more wrong on. So you just got to see them at the major league level. That's the only thing that will tell you.
Maybe I'm wrong on this, and maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment, because Lord knows I can be that. But to me, the one thing that I've noticed happening in the last, I'll say 10 years, in the last, 10 years ago, I felt like you could have a top-ranked, number one prospect over baseball, before MLB Pipeline existed, before all these other things existed, you could have the number one prospect in all of baseball, and that guy might not make it. Where now it feels like there are clear can't-miss guys. And I don't know if the industry's just gotten better at evaluating them. I don't know if the process for developing players, both in the minor leagues, at the college level, at the the showcase level, if it's just better now, so you've got more information on guys. Obviously, from a technology standpoint, we know from pitchers, we're putting these guys in pitching labs where we know what their spin rate is, we know all these things about them, we know what the exit velocity is on these hitters coming through. So there's obviously more data, and when you have more data, you have more information. So that's probably the answer to the question. But I think that's been the one major change that I've noticed when it comes to the super upper echelon, the tier of prospect that is just there is that can't miss. And I think J.J. Weatherholt is on the verge of being not can't miss, this guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame, but can't miss, this guy's going to be a pretty darn good big leaguer.
For sure. And before that year in 2024, Weatherholt was regarded as the top prospect in the draft before that spring season started. And I have to agree. I think it's just we know so much about these prospects that you know almost who's number one, who's number two, or in the past you didn't have that.
I can argue against something you just said, though, and it goes back to J.J. Weatherholt, because out of high school, and again, these guys are being evaluated just sometimes more at high school. Like some of these baseball academies out there, there are technologies that the Cardinals do not have right now that hopefully they will have as they redo everything down at the spring training facility. There are technologies that they do not have that some of these baseball academies that youth players are using do have. So like a J.J. Weatherholt's a really interesting thing because coming out of high school, he was not regarded as well. West Virginia kind of just gave him an offer. I think they were his only Division I offer. They were certainly his only like power conference Division I offer. And it was almost a throwaway thing at the end of the recruiting period. They had some money, some scholarship for him, and they gave it to him. And then he explodes at the college level. So even somebody like that, where we're evaluating, and this goes back to the Jordan Walker conversation because of how young he is, we don't know when these guys are actually going to emerge as whoever they're going to be.
And that's a good point. In drafting these college guys, I feel like you know a lot more about them because of that. You know, you get to see them develop as they get a bit older rather than, you know, just taking a chance on an 18-year-old. And if they're not in one of those academies and they just go to some random high school, I feel like you almost don't know a lot about them. And you're just looking at tools and traits rather than, you know, established numbers.
100%. With NIL stuff and agents getting more involved, I would think it's going to be even better for them because there's going to be agents are obviously going to get as much information out about their guys moving forward. One more break. We'll come back. Jen Cease, who's going to be hosting City Spotlight, she's going to be in here. We're going to find out from her what she's got coming up on the program tonight. And we'll get out of here for the evening coming up. Don't go anywhere. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line, a Strike Zone Hour coming up, rolling on right here on KMOX.
Now, back to the Strike Zone, presented by Graybar on the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It is a Strike Zone Hour of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Just a couple minutes left in this program, but don't go anywhere. City Spotlight coming up this evening from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Jen Cease hosting as she does a great job, and she is in with us right now to tell us a little bit about what's going on the show tonight. Hey, Jen.
Yeah, good evening. A packed show, actually. Lutz Fahnenstiel is going to join us right off the top, talk a little bit. So Tom Ackerman's not the only one that gets to talk to Lutz. I get to talk to Lutz. So we'll have him first, and then we'll hear from Tomas Ostrak, who's our player profile. Recorded that with him yesterday. Dax McCarty from Apple MLS Season Pass will join us. You see him everywhere. He does all the pregame analysis. He's on MLS 360 and the roundup and the wrap-up and all those things. So he'll be at the bottom of the hour. And then Dale Schilly will kind of round out the hour with us to talk about. He was there at LAFC and, you know, had a bird's-eye view to the tie that kind of feels like a loss.
Yeah, totally feels like a loss. Yeah. I was the bad luck charm on that one, by the way, because I literally turned that game on about 15 seconds before the equalizing goal was scored.
Oh.
I didn't watch a second of it and then turn it on, and I'm watching Belonga go do his thing.
You watch one heck of a run, though.
Whoa. So I felt bad. I turned it on, and then very shortly thereafter I let the game finish off, and they were just about done anyways, but turned it off. Maybe I'm wrong on this long season. It feels like you have to turn that into something. At least that was a point. They've not gotten a point in a while. You have to build off of that now. They are at the point in the season where if you just keep coming up with ties or you keep or have losses, like that's it's going to be critical mass. So this is you scored two goals at LAFC.
Yeah.
That without everything
you
else that went on.
You had the lead
twice. Right. That's a good day. Go turn that into something.
Right, exactly. Take off. Also, you scored on LAFC, which City had never done. Scored first, scored twice. Build on that and bring it to the Sounders. Hard place to play. It's turf. It's Lumen Field. Sounders fans are very energetic. It's not an easy place to play, but maybe they're missing Jordan Morris. That could help St. Louis City, but you definitely need to build on that and at least take one. And man, could you do things if you take all three.
You're going to be there this weekend.
I am going to be there. Yeah. Dale Schilly's on St. Louis City Academy duty. 30. So I'll be there with Joey Zannaboni, and pregame starts at 9 p.m. on Y98.
How much fun is that for you when you get the opportunity to do the analyst work?
You know, it's fun, a little scary too, because you have to remember just tell what you see, because usually I'm busy just with other duties. But it is fun to kind of turn your brain on and also enjoy the game and enjoy what's happening, and then try to see and figure out what's going on in the time. So it's a good time.
Awesome. Well, we'll be listening. That's Jen C. She's got City Spotlight coming up just after the 8 o'clock news. I will talk with you tomorrow for Cardinals baseball. Cardinals are opening up a weekend series against the New York Mets. Sonny Gray going to be on the mound tomorrow night. 7:15 first pitch, coverage at 6:20. We've got Redbird Rush Hour tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. So look forward to talking to you then. Thanks so much for being tuned in to a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.